I was perusing the internet the other day when I came across the music of Spanish pop sensation Niño Bravo and his song Un Beso y una Flor. And I absolutely loved his voice and the style of this song, that dramatic 1970s Baroque Spanish pop sound. So I, of course, looked him up and I found out that one of his most famous songs, Libre, was played while political detainees and political prisoners in Chile were tortured by Pinochet's regime. I know that was a bit abrupt, but that's how it hit me. I'll let that sink in for a moment. I was immediately horrified, especially when I found out that the song was originally written against Franco's regime in Spain. So I realized that this song written against fascism was actually hijacked by it. And it really disturbed me, especially when I actually listened to the song. There was such a crazy contradiction there. This passionate song about freedom and the idea that people were tortured to the sound of it. That's what really messed with my head. Because I like the sound of the song, yet I was still revolted by the idea that it was used as this fascist anthem and the soundtrack of torture. So naturally, this set up a wild contradiction inside of me. Now, I haven't shared this with you all, but whenever I learn about a historical event or a time period, I always come up with a fictional but historically accurate story in my head about it. And I usually don't write these things down. I know I probably should, but this time I did. And I wound up with a short story that talks about dictatorship, torture, this song, Peter Ketcher, and the hijacking of the true meaning of something, really anything. So I'm going to read it to you, and I hope you all enjoy it. I know this is a little different than what I usually do, but before I start, I will say there's just a bit of cursing in this song, in this story, just a little heads up. There's nothing too crazy. I just wanted to let you all know. Also, I thought about it a lot. I went back and forth in my head about it, and I did decide to play the song in this show because I do want to show a little bit of the contradiction between what the song sounds like and then the reality of what it was used for. So I wrote this short story. I hope you guys like it. I titled it Libre. And again, remember, it's completely fictional. It's a story that I made up. It is historically accurate, but again, completely fictional. So we'll get right to it now. It was 1983 and a hot day in Malaga. You'd think it was a romantic Spanish film, the way the sun bathed the old stone buildings in its golden light. And there at a table by a window in that gorgeous cafe sat a couple whose happiness in each other's company produced a light of its own. A couple that didn't need to speak to understand each other, that special kind of love that is content in silence. But upon closer inspection, you would see the signs, the lines, and the dark memories buried under their sparkling eyes. His laugh was tinged with tears, and the lines in his face betrayed the memories underneath. Her beauty was what people noticed, commented on, but few looked hard enough to see the telltale expression of an exile, constantly studying the horizon, looking for some sign of freedom for their distant home. It was that expression that many had mistaken as fatigue when she fell into silence. They never recognized it as grief. One who knew could recognize it, see it from afar, even in the middle of a party. One could see the memories flash across their faces, then be wiped away just as quickly with a bright smile. But that evening, in each other's gentle company, there was pure, simple happiness. But in a moment, that could be destroyed by something as simple as a song. Another fact of exile. Anything could cause you to want to crawl out of your own skin, could fill your body with that scratching feeling that made you want to run away, fight, or die. A Spanish guitar instrumental came over the speakers, and a grand and dramatic voice began to ardently sing.
Tiene casi 20 años y ya está cansado de soñar. Pero tras la frontera está su hogar, su mundo y su ciudad. Piensa que la alambrada solo es un trozo de metal, algo que nunca puede detener sus ansias de volar.
He's 20 and he's already dreamed. Tired of dreaming, but across the border his home is lying, his world and his city. He thinks the fence is only a piece of metal, something that can never stop his desire to fly. She recognized that expression as soon as it flashed across his face, the panic, his own body rebelling against him. He tugged at the collar of his shirt and couldn't breathe. He looked around desperate for help, begging for a reprieve from the hellish fire that had taken over his body, the familiar feeling of electricity that he could never get used to. "Ricardo, what's wrong? You look sick. What is it?" I can't. I have to get out of here." He got up and practically staggered to the door that led to a patio and terrace behind the cafe, thankfully empty now. He held onto a railing as if it was a crutch, the only thing keeping him upright, and she rushed after him. "What is it, love? What happened? Did you see someone from... you know..." She looked around, trying to find what caused his reaction, desperate to know what was wrong. It had been a long time since she'd seen him like this. Now that she thought of it, she hadn't seen him like this since he had just returned, when he had nightmares that left him trembling, sobbing, and soaked with sweat. "That song," he gasped, "Teresa, the song." "The song? What about it?" Her confusion showing on her face. "What about the vocals of the dramatic 1970s Spanish Baroque pop song that played over the speakers had taken him back to hell?" She placed her hands on his cheeks and looked into his eyes. "Please, love, tell me, what about the song?" "I never told you? That goddamn song, they played it over and over and over. That fucking song became hell for me. When they electrocuted me, they played it so loud I couldn't even hear my own thoughts. I wanted to kill the singer, the songwriter, all of them. They would sing it when they beat the fuck out of me, Teresa. I thought I was gonna die listening to that goddamn song. God, get me out of here." His chest heaved and he began crying, and all she could do was take him into her arms and try to calm him. It was another one of the details that would periodically come out about the long months he was a desaparecido. His crime, like that of many others, was being a journalist. Over the past 10 years, Teresa had to piece together the hellish months when he disappeared and returned like a ghost of himself, almost unrecognizable. It had taken a long time for them to piece themselves back together in exile while they tried to find clues as to what had happened to many of their friends who would not return, who would never be found. Over time, they learned that memory was not the enemy, that visiting the past was a refuge, that the pain would always be there. The balance of life and death in their lives was delicate. The balance between being present in their lives and being surrounded by the dead, their country and their friends, was a fact of their lives. It had taken time to learn that staying in the middle was necessary so as not to slowly fall closer and closer towards the dead while being alive, yet never forgetting the lives and friends they had before it was all shattered. They had two sets of friends, the living ones and the dead ones, both equally vivid and alive and present in their lives. No amount of healing, however, could stop Ricardo's reaction to the song that had tormented him. The worst part about this whole story was that it, like everything the fascist said and did, was based on a lie. It was no more true than anything in El Libro Blanco or Plan Zeta. Libre was a song about freedom from fascism, against Franco. Herrero and Armenteros never meant for it to be about Peter Fechter, but that's what was said to avoid the censorship. And that is where the lie began. Fechter was a tragic victim of supposed Soviet communism. His body laying on concrete in the death strip next to barbed wire was hijacked. The screams of young Peter Fechter as he died in agony, the East German guards indifferent to his suffering, and the West German police throwing bandages at him that he could not reach, were no different than Ricardo's own screams as he was tortured, and the rest of the world offering their words denouncing the horror, but doing nothing to stop it. Yet somehow, they were separated. Fechter was hijacked by Franco, by Pinochet, and became the reason for Ricardo's torture, the reason communists were hunted down all over the continent, beaten, imprisoned, and driven closer to madness and eventual death. No one asked Peter Fechter if he wanted this, after all. He just wanted freedom. Just like Ricardo and every one of the victims all over their America. Just as easily, communists, socialists, dissidents, and activists all over the continents could have raised their voices, could have belted out those lyrics. As the sun at dawn, I am free like the sea, free as the bird who escaped from its prison and can finally fly, free as the wind who picks up my sorrows and grief. I keep walking for the truth, and I will finally know what is freedom. But no, this song was forever tainted and bitter. Its lyrics had become laced with poison. Nothing could bring back the original sentiment. The fascists had ruined yet another thing. If only the Pinochetistas knew that they were singing a song of their own demise, because one day, free as the wind which picks up my sorrow and grief, I keep walking for the truth, and I will finally know what is freedom. But the victims of the dictatorship, those who bore the physical and mental scars, would never be able to sing it, because it was the soundtrack of their own personal hell on earth. It was another thing the dictatorship had taken from them. It was years later when Ricardo and Teresa's only child, their daughter Victoria, listened to it that she thought it would have been the perfect song for the great marches that occurred after the dictatorship fell. She couldn't stop wondering how they had twisted the meaning of a song which denounced the prison fascism created wherever it went so much that it was unrecognizable. How had a criticism of fascism turned into a rallying cry for it? She wanted to imagine a different instance where that song could have never been soiled by fascist terror and belonged to her and all people who simply dreamed of freedom. She shook her head, knowing that it would never be so, that there was no redeeming a song that was used to drive people to madness, a song that was filled with hatred, a song whose lyrics had long since been betrayed. There was no redeeming this song. The only thing that could be done was writing a new song. A song of liberty, whose very words would revolt when they were used for hate. A song whose lyrics could not even be pronounced unless they were sung in the spirit of liberty and motivated by pure love. That was my short story, Libre. That song really made me think of all of this. And I especially thought about things being hijacked for political agendas or to get more power. Because this has happened so many times, from music to historical figures, movements, and even tragedies. For example, we're seeing a perfect example of this right now. The Holocaust is, and has been for a long time, hijacked by Zionists to justify their oppression, ethnic cleansing, and now genocide of the Palestinians. And in doing this, it always enrages me when I think of this, because they have betrayed, in doing this, they have betrayed the memory of all of those who were murdered in the Holocaust, because they're doing the same thing to the Palestinians. And then they use the barbarities of the Holocaust to justify their genocidal campaign against Gaza. If you don't believe me, if you don't want to hear me talk about it, go listen to Norman Finkelstein, because his parents were Holocaust survivors. And he goes into great detail about this, describing how the Holocaust has been hijacked by Zionists to justify everything they do to the Palestinians. It's horrifying. It's disgusting. It's a terrible betrayal of all of the victims. And it's really just a much bigger example of what I talk about in this song and the death of Peter Ketcher, because this really had nothing to do with him. It was a tragedy in every sense what happened to him. Yet that death is then used for kind of as this reason for the deaths, for the torture, and for the pain of so many others. It's a tragedy in every sense, and a betrayal to everyone, and it really leaves nothing but pain in its wake. This has been Voice of the Water Lily. I'm Ananin Kaike. I'll be back next week with a longer podcast. Tell me if you like this show and this story that I wrote. Let me know if you want to hear more of my stories. Keep dancing, keep honoring your ancestors, never stop affirming for the right to live in peace for all oppressed people, especially the Palestinian people. Con mucho, mucho cariño. Ciao, mi gente. Mi gente, let's end off here with a song that was not used by fascists, but rather banned by fascists. A real song of peace, a real song of liberty, and a song that I think I've played every single week for the last several months. I think you can guess which one it is. Until next time, mi gente, ciao.
El derecho de vivir, poeta Ho Chi Minh, que golpea de Vietnam a toda la humanidad. Ningún cañón borrará el surco de tu arrozal. El derecho de vivir en paz. Indochina es el lugar, más allá del ancho mar, donde revientan la flor con genocidio y napalm. La luna es una explosión, que funde todo el clamor, el derecho de vivir en paz. Que funde todo el clamor, el derecho.